Blog Talk Radio.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. Thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. In which we are carriers of the ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion. But he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy, single-handed, the mighty man of valor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mighty man of valor. God bless you all. Tuned into the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Our motto is, we are co-workers in the kingdom. And I have a co-worker with me right now. And I perceive his name is Minister Jerry Cleveland. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Bless God. And I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Now, can I impose upon you to open us up in prayer?
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done today and bringing us up to this time, to this moment. to give you praise, honor, and to seek your face through your word. Father, we ask that those, that the words that we find, that we sow rather, will find good ground, and it will be multiplied 30, 40, 50, 30, 40, 100, and even 1,000-fold. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And, you know, men and young boys, you know, one of the things that we tend to do, more so older folk than the young children, the young boys, is to, the beginning of the year, we think about changing some things. Is that right, Minister Jerry? We think about doing something a little different.
Yes, sir. Change is good.
Yeah.
Change is good, but it's a challenge.
Yes. And you know, one of the things that I've heard this many years ago, and it's really true, it said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expect a different result. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a good definition or not, but there's sometimes we need to think about changing, because the time, we live in a different time. You have a scripture there, I think it's Ephesians chapter 5. Do you see that scripture?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 5, I'm not sure. I think it may be something like the 14th. 15, 16 verses, but something like that.
Ephesians 5 and, let me see. Yes, I have it right here. Ephesians 5, 14 through 18.
Okay, can you read that? Because we want to set the foundation for our conversation today.
Yes, sir. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Mm-hmm.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Mm-hmm.
17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand that will what the will of God is in excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. That's 18.
That's 18.
Yes. 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord.
Now, what does 16 say?
16 says, remembering the time, because the days are evil.
Okay, I didn't hear that. That's what I wanted. Remembering the time.
Yes.
See, it's time for change. Okay.
Yes, sir.
The other scripture, I think, is in Romans 13.
Romans 13.
Uh-huh. And I think it's 11-14 or something like that.
Let me see. Romans 13, 11 through 14.
Uh-huh. If you would read that for us.
Okay. 13, 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Hmm.
13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in the rioting and drunkenness, but in chambering and wantonness. Not in a strife and envying.
Mm-hmm. There was
Let me see. Okay, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
There was a scripture that says, redeem the time.
Yes.
Okay, hallelujah. Redeem the time. It's time for change, y'all. You know, we just passed 2023. It's time for change. And I got great news for you. Isaiah 43:18-19. Can you read that?
Yes. Isaiah 43:18-19. Read. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it shall bring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
I want y'all to understand, it's time for change, y'all. You know, way we used to do stuff and we did not have success. Even being disobedient, we got to change all that because time is short. Now is the time. God said, look here. You submit yourself to me, I'm going to do a new thing. Papa's got a brand new bag, y'all. Daddy God got some new stuff he wants to throw out on you. Some new blessings that you haven't received in 2023. He wants to really bless your socks off in 2024. He wants those blessings to come knocking at your door in 2024. And it's up to you to open that door. It's time for a change. The way we do things, the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, it's time to up our game. Do you have any comments on all of that?
Well, you know, I like the part that it's time to up our game. You know, that it, we've been doing things in a church-wise, a religious sort of way for a long time.
Yes, yes.
And it's time that we read, and that we comprehend and we listen to the Spirit of God to get our full directions and our real directions. Rather than moving in a religious, emotional sense, so it's past time. We think that we are in the time, and that we are where we're supposed to be. But actually, I think, Bishop, if we redeem the time. And that is take the time that is given to us and sow that time into the scriptures, sow that time into the word of God, sow that time into meeting with God and listening to what God has to say, and then following his directives, then we would be and can be further down the road than we are today.
Amen. Amen. I agree 100% what you say. You say, and see, it is important for us to understand that God wants better for all of us.
Yes.
And John 10:10b says, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, abundant life sounds great, doesn't it?
More
abundant life. And if you're living beneath more abundant life, you're not where God wants you.
You know, I like what that abundant life says. That abundant life says full to overflow. And then there's a scripture that says shaken down. He'll give us shaken down, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God lets us know that he is a lavish and full God. There's nothing stingy about him. He doesn't piecemeal things out to us like we do to him. Thank God.
Thank God.
Yes. So It's time that we, if we're his children and we are like our father, that we should do things in a lavish sort of way.
Amen.
And that's, personally, that's what I'm working on. Yes, sir.
Amen. The scripture talks about we need to be excellent. As we need to do, I put it this way. If God gave to us like we give to him, some of us would be up the creek without a path.
Oh, yes, we would.
It's important for us to understand we have to show excellence to him. So it's time for a change. That some folks think that they're serving God and they come to church when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
They skip over the part that says, fail not to assemble yourselves together. They skip over that part because they want to come when they feel like it.
Mm.
They can fit it into their schedule. They want to pray when their back is against the wall, when everything is going honky-dory. Oh, yeah, I forgot to pray today. I'll do it tomorrow.
Bishop, excuse me. Go ahead.
Oh, one of the scriptures says, awake thou that sleepeth or is dead. Some of us are so asleep on this thing that we appear to be dead. Some folks don't open the Bibles but once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't open up to read. They open up to follow what the preacher is quoting or reading. It's time for us to change the way we do things. Go ahead, our minister. Gary.
Yes. You know, it's a funny thing that we have this message tonight, because I made a vision board some years ago.
Uh-huh.
And on the vision board, this was before the pandemic, and on the vision board, there are like two or three references to change.
Mm.
That one of them said, are you ready for the change?
Mm.
Another one said, are you ready to make a change?
Mm.
And I think the third one says, change is in the air.
Mm.
And then the pandemic hit, and everything that like we know it, changed. And
wow.
It changed right away. Yes, sir. So God has been setting us up for a change. I think you're right on target here with this message. Change is in the air. Change is all around us. I went to a restaurant the other day, and before I opened the door to go in, there was a sign on the front of the door that said, we do not accept cash.
Whoa.
Yes. Cash is falling off the throne, I believe. I don't know. But that's not the first time I've seen a sign like that. That's a huge change.
We're using
cards and chips and electronic devices and things to carry our currency. And the more that I see that, the more that I believe we should put our faith, our currency, in God.
Mm-hmm.
Our belief, our currency is in God. Our currency.
You know, that reflects back to the message on Wednesday. The currency of the kingdom is faith.
Is faith. There we go.
Because you're going to need faith, because the coins and all that, it's steadily getting out of vogue.
Yes.
You got cryptocurrency, you got digital currency.
Yes.
You got that. We got to get ready for the change.
Yes.
Because it's going to change the way you look at things, the way you do stuff.
The way you think about things, yes.
We got to wake up. Now, prior to the pandemic, if you told somebody that they would close the churches and keep the bars open, they probably say, you're out your mind.
Oh, yes.
And say that they will tell people to stay home, don't go no place. You're crazy. But
yes, sir. Go ahead. That's what you would think. Because it's so upside down. As a nation of Christian people, as a nation of believers, when you hear something like that, to our ears, it sounds backwards and it sounds upside down. It sounds like it should be reversed. But I think we're becoming accustomed to things being backwards. Even though they're progressing, I think in our minds and in our hearts, we have become accustomed to things being backwards. So I think God is telling us, awake thou that sleepest.
Yeah.
I think he's shaking us. You ever try to shake somebody awake? They're sleeping. And you go put your hands on their shoulders and you pat them and you push them, push the shoulders and you pat them. Wake up, Junior. Wake up. Wake up. That's what God is trying to do. That's what God is telling us. He's telling us to wake up. Thou that sleepest.
We have to do it.
The God who never slumbers nor sleeps is telling us, your sleep with your eyes wide open, wake up.
You know, you have hit on so much of what you just shared, because something earth-shaking is going to happen.
Yes.
And he wants us to be prepared for it.
Yes.
See, you either have time on your hands or you have time in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
God has time in your hands. He wants it's time for change. He wants you to change the way you do things. And one of the things that we need to do is remember what the Word of God says. It says the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He is going to lead the way, but if we go to his Word and follow what he says, and he's calling us to not be reactive now. He wants us to be proactive. In other words, we may not see what we need, what's coming down the road, but we need to prepare for it. He wants us to stay ready so that we won't have to get ready. He wants us to be proactive so that we don't have to be reactive. We already got stuff in place. You understand what I'm saying? It's time for a change, y'all. It's time, fathers, uncles and grandparents, it's time for you to teach the young men not just how to work a cell phone, but how to work with their hands, how to work with their mind to not just keep up with the Joneses, hallelujah, but to keep with learning the techniques and going into business for yourself. We can't depend on a job to take you through what's coming, y'all. It's time for a change. You have an idea. God has given folks witty ideas and inventions. And the worst thing to ever happen to you is for you to say, you know, I had that same idea 10 years ago, and somebody just starting that, and it done made $1 million in 6. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. It is important for us to understand, to be proactive. I think our minister dropped off. Minister Joy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We got you back. You sound like you're further away, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened. But again, we need to be proactive, y'all. Fathers, grandfathers, uncles, male cousins, you need to teach the young men how to be leaders, how to be entrepreneurs, how to be able not just to work with their heads, but also work with their hands, how to create and not destroy. Because God is going to do a new thing. He said he would. But he's looking for some people to work through. That young boy at 5, we need to teach him the right way to handle himself. TSD, if it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not right, don't do it. Then we need to graduate him to being able to understand business, how to own a business. You can teach him how to have a snowball business or how to sell candy or whatever. Teach him how to be an owner, to be a head and not the tail. Many people have worked 40 years on the same job, and they retire for one-tenth of the income, and they can't even live off of that. God wants you to be the head and not the tail. It's time for a change, y'all.
Yes.
It's time to show young men how to really be a leader, how to be an innovator and an inventor, how to patent, get your idea, your invention patent, how to write a book. Something that will take them off of just one of the crowd. Because you're not just one of the crowd, y'all. If you're listening to this men's fellowship, you're not just one of the crowd. You have been ordained by God to be a leader, every last one of you.
Yes.
I want to tell you this, and I want you to understand this. You may get this tomorrow. But every one of you are geniuses. You say, what? Every one of you are geniuses. I'm going to tell you why. Some people will say that you're not a genius if you're a fish and you can't climb a tree. So you spend all your life thinking that you're not smart. But see, there's something in each of us that God has planted for you to excel, that you only you can do. You are a genius in that area. You are gifted in that area. Understand that it's time for a change. You to find out what it is that God has said, I gave this to you. Nobody else can do what you can do, young man, young adult, older man, senior. There's something that you can do that nobody else can do.
Yes.
You were put here by God. You are a genius in that area. Don't let nobody tell you you're not. It's time for a change. It's time for you to find out what that gift is and start walking towards it. That's greatness God put in you. When you came here in your earth suit, you put on your earth suit, God said, I'm going to put genius in you. I'm going to give you something that nobody else got.
Yes.
I'm gonna give you a gift that nobody else can do the way you can do it.
That's right.
You got that. But you can't find out what it is if you try to do it without Christ. You can't find out what it is if you try to do it without the Word of God.
Yes.
There's 788,280 words in the Bible. It's in there, y'all.
Yes.
You can find what you are great in by going to the Word of the Lord. Psalms 119:105 says, the Word of the Lord is a lamp unto your feet, letting you know where you're standing, where you are, and a light unto your path, where you need to go.
Yes.
Minister, you want to comment?
You know, Bishop, what came to mind immediately when you said that there's Jesus in all of us, let me ask you, you may know who this is. Who is there was a woman in history who was a genius with numbers. And she had something. She worked with the spacecraft. And she's an African. She's a black woman.
Yes, and she had forgotten her name. I think it was, her name was Johnson, but I'm not too sure. But they wouldn't have gotten to the moon if it hadn't been for her and several other women.
That's right. They had to work out some calculations, didn't they?
Yeah, but she could do it. And the sad part about it is that in the day, because she was African American, she couldn't use the bathrooms in the building that she worked in every day. She had to go to another.
That's right.
Because it was for white.
She had to go down the road a piece.
Because it was white, so. But see, there's greatness in all. I remember the movie. The guy was, they said he had not Alzheimer's. He was good at numbers. He could add up numbers, could remember numbers. That he was a genius.
Yes.
The fish is a genius. In fishing, in swimming. But if you ask a fish to climb a tree, he can't do that because his genius is not in climbing trees.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming in the ocean. See, all of you, I don't care who you are, I don't care how old you are a genius in an area.
Yes.
Your quest is not for change. You need to find out what that area is and move towards it.
Amen.
For what sake,
There is a purpose for each of our lives. You're absolutely right, Bishop. There's a purpose that we were sent here to do. There's a purpose. There's a job that we were sent here to do. And a purpose for us coming here before we were a twinkle in our Father's eye. We put on our earth suit, God put a job in our heart, in our spirit. And he sent us down here to do that, same as Jesus. Jesus came with an assignment. And he fulfilled his assignment to redeem man, do what it took to die on the cross, and bring man back to God. And even when he got close to the time for him to go to the cross, his knees were locking, and he said, "Can this cup pass from me? Is there another way to do this?" But he knew in his heart, in his spirit, he knew what God, what his Father, and how he was going to do it. And he said, "Nevertheless,
not my will, but thy will be done." You know, it's important for y'all to understand out there, young men, young boys, you got the goods inside of you already.
Yes, you do.
You got the goods inside of you. It has to be developed, but you got it.
So what I'm seeing happening is the good that you have inside of you, or that was deposited in you, is being used, but it's being used lots of times in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Same gift. It's the same gift, but it has a perversion attached to it now, because it is used for a different purpose other than the one that it was said to be used for. That's what perversion is. It has been twisted. It has been turned by the enemy of your soul to work the gift for his kingdom, to work the gift for the enemy. And if you are not sensitive to who you're working for, yes, you will continue in that vein. And a lot of people who work in that vein are not met with any kind of success, not real heart-to-heart success, not real inward success.
You know, you're absolutely right. There's some drug dealers who have this massive organization, and they control it. They could be CEOs of multinational, multi-billion-dollar businesses because of their ability to delegate and to pick the right people for the right places. But they're working for the wrong master, and so their life is short. They have a lot of gold, but you know they don't have the peace of mind.
They don't have the inner peace.
25 and 50 bodyguards to make sure somebody's not going to try to bump them off so they can take their place.
Yes.
But these same people, if they had all that positive and to legal businesses, they could fund the whole Christian, the last move of God with the ability that they have in them. They chose another way. But again, there's genius in each of you. Don't you accept nothing less. You say, well, it's an IQ. The genius is 140. We're not talking about man's measurement. I'm talking about God's measurement.
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, man's measurement, logic from A to B. From A to B, that's logic. But God's measurement is eternal and infinite. It is unfathomable.
Yes.
They said that there was a young man that he had IQ of something like 240. Einstein had one of 170. He was considered a genius. This guy was 240. Mm-hmm. He was in law school at age 11. That sounds great. But guess what? All of us got something that we are genius in.
Everybody.
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 You made it in your earth suit. You were able to put on the earth suit. You're a genius.
Yes.
And I want you to know. So I'm a genius. Yes, you can call yourself. I am a genius. And you, God will help you. You say, God, show me what area am I a genius in?
Mm-hmm.
And God will lead you.
I am.
You dedicate genius to him, and he's going to lead the way. He's going to show you the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Time for change. Sounds like our time is up. Hallelujah. Go ahead, thank God. But anyway, it's time for change. you have some last words on this?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, sir. That even when the alarm goes off and says it's time for a change, that is telling us it's time for us to stop what we're doing and do something else. It's time for a change. Life is full of swift transition. That's what the songwriter tells us too. Life is full of swift transition. And a transition can be a challenge. It's always a challenge. But the only way is through.
Amen. And, you know, I want to share with you that when you attempt to do what God put you here, you're going to have a challenge. You're going to have a kickback. Somebody's going to try to stop you. The enemy don't want you to achieve the goal and the reason for God putting you here. He don't want that. So you're going to have that come against you. But the word of God says in Philippians 3, I think 13 and 14, press toward the mark for the prize of the high call. You know what the prize of the high call? God called you and placed you in this earth suit to be a genius, to reach your destiny. That's the high calling. Press until you get there, y'all.
And don't be afraid of it.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, when you get there and you do what God put you here to do, you know what he's going to say? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God bless you. Thank you, Minister Jerry, for being with us. And thank all of you that listened to the Men's Fellowship on tonight. God bless you. And stay tuned to the Women's Fellowship coming up shortly. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for our hearts have felt and our ears have heard. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's bursting forth in our hearts, oh God, your revelation, wisdom, and knowledge. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for what you said and what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for the thousandfold increase in blessing in our lives. Hallelujah. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, rest and abide with all of you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Mighty man of valor, we bless God for you. In Jesus' name. Until next month, amen and amen.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life, thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship God, true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the 50. All you have to do is take it for COD. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, His presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give Him your all. Let Him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by His blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by His righteous standards. Through the power of His Spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah. Good evening. Hallelujah. You Holy Ghost women of God. Hallelujah. You have tuned into the Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah. Of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah. And we have tonight, hallelujah, Pastor Maxine Lee. You there?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Minister Kibi?
Kibi's in the house.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have two mighty, mighty women of God with me. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And we will open up and pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord God, because we are women of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we belong to you. Hallelujah. We don't want to make any moves but except according to your will. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us through this day, Lord God, without any hurt, harm, or danger come upon us. We thank you, Lord God, for every life we were able to touch today for you, Father. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, your kindness, your tender mercies, your great love. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for being women of God. Hallelujah. For being mighty, mighty vessels for you, Jesus. And that's all we want to do. We just want to be used by you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done, all you're doing, all that you're going to do. Lord God, let everything tonight be spoken. Hallelujah. Be done in decency and in order. Hallelujah. And based on the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us through this life up to this date and time. Hallelujah. Up to this minute, Father God. And we just praise you and we worship you, Lord God, because you're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And tonight, we're going to talk about, hallelujah, not being unequally yoked. Hallelujah. That's something that we don't want to do because there is a cost, there is a price to pay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And every young lady desires to grow up and be married to this mighty man of God and all, and we have our picture of what we want our husbands to be, and sometimes it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes what we don't want to be attracted to us is what sometimes is attracted to us. Hallelujah. And oh my gosh, and don't he look good? He look good in his clothes. He got muscles bulging out here and there, and he just walked the way we want. Ooh, he got swagger. Hallelujah. And sometimes our parents don't know to tell us the criteria, what to look for in a husband. Amen. They just want us to marry the opposite sex, you know. Yeah. So they don't want us presenting somebody to us that look just like us, you know. But sometimes things don't always work out and the way we want them to, and sometimes our children bring us this, well, like my grandma used to say, jitterbug. Sometimes some smooth-talking guy that we can't say no to, and he just make me shiver. He just give me fever. And we end up bringing him home to mama, and mama wondering, what is this? Especially if you got to save him up. You got to save him up. You know, don't even bring him, you know. But sometimes some guys are so slick. They know how to go into the church. They know how to act saved, act church, roll around in the floor enough, and hick them aside and blow bubbles long enough to convince you that they are saved and to get your hand and then take you out of the church. To take you out of the church. One of my friends told me that this is what her husband did to her, and then when they got married, he wouldn't even allow her to read the Bible. He would not even allow her to read the Bible. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what it's like. I would not know. Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. Hallelujah. But we want our children, we want our girls to grow up loving the Lord, being filled with the Holy Ghost, so that she can tell genuine from a fake. No matter how much, many times he come to church and he's shouting up and down the aisles and praising God. I want her to, we want our daughters to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that she can tell by his spirit or what's in his spirit and what is it. God can show her, hey, just what his spirit is like. And if he isn't right, no matter how much he makes her shiver and quiver, she'll tell him, get to stepping. Uh-uh. Something ain't right. Something isn't right. And we know, Amos 3 and 3, ask the question, can two walk together? Hallelujah. It answers, can two walk together? And 2 Corinthians 6:14 talks about light and darkness having no fellowship. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what has light with darkness? The two can't mix. The two can't mix. You'll be wanting to go to church on Sunday, and here we stay in the football game on. We ain't going. Game coming on at 1. We ain't going today. And if you don't have your own ride, and if you don't know how to get there without him, because you expected him to be the spiritual leader. You're expecting him to be able to wash the wife with the water of the word. But if you're unequally yoked, he can wash you with the water of the word. And they're picking fights and making something out of nothing. And then when you do go to church, and then he's accusing the other brothers at church looking at you or accusing you thinking you looking at the other brothers. And you're wondering like, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into? And you didn't listen to the mothers at church that was trying to tell you, baby, something just not right about this brother. And you said, oh, he loves me. When we pray together, he even speaks in tongues. Anybody can But is he living the life when he's not around you? Is he living the life when he's not in church? Is he living the life? What does his friends look like? Is he on the corners with his friends? Are they all passing around a joint?
That's right. Amen.
Are they all passing around the bottle? Is he holding up the blessed banner? Is he witnessing to his friends on the job? On the job, what kind of name does he have? Does everybody on his job know that he's different? The people on his job, do they know that he's saved? They may not know the word saved, but do they know he's a church boy? They know he's a church man. They may not know the word saved, but do they know that he goes to church? Do they see him up in all of the women's faces and talking and laughing at the same jokes everybody else laughing at around the water cooler? It's a difference. There has to be a difference. And you want the man that is different. Young ladies, we don't want the guy that's been the pass around pack or that every girl done been with, but we don't want the man that's been with everybody. And he has a name. We really don't want that. We don't want that. And we want somebody to say, and a lot of times when we're trying to tell our girls about the guy that we want them, oh, man, the men today, ain't no good men out here. I've heard it. Ain't no good men out here. They either in jail or gay. And a lot of ones that are in church jumping and shouting, some of them the down low brothers. Some of them down low. And you wonder like, oh my God. So therefore, young people, young ladies that's believing God for a husband, be encouraged. All of them not in jail. All of them not gay. God has some brothers out there that are looking for virtuous women, that's looking for a woman that hasn't been passed around. They're looking for women true, that's been true to God and still know how to pray and get a prayer through. Hallelujah. They're looking for women, hallelujah, virtuous women. That's not saying one thing on Sunday and doing something else from Monday to Saturday. They're looking for that woman that's saved every day of the week.
That's right.
And is not allowing you to stay over her house at night. Okay. They're looking for that woman's going to pass the test. Hallelujah. When temptations get kind of warm, and he's looking for that woman that's going to pass the test. Hallelujah. She's looking for you to say, "Well, brother, it's time for you to go. You and your friends, y'all shouldn't be over each other's house, just the two of y'all anyway." Okay. Time for you and your friends, it's time for y'all to go home. And, you know, and he wants you to pass the test, you know, the not to be, you know, going in another room and trying to pull him in another room and getting something going on and all. So, hallelujah. We thank God because the word of God, hallelujah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. With the word of God, He will allow us and can allow us to pass the test and to be strong. Hallelujah. God has that man of God out there for you. Hallelujah. We don't have to settle. Young ladies, you don't have to settle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Maxine or QB, either one of y'all can take it on.
When you called me, I thought about, and you mentioned also Second Corinthians 6:14, where God had told us don't be unequally yoked together. And you know, our Father, He is so wise, and He is so caring, and He wants us to be happy and be rejoiceful. But because of our fleshly ways, enemy come and dictate to us, we have a lot of women and men that are unequally yoked in their marriage. And it's unfortunately, they see it in their mother and father. Men, because growing up, man and woman, a lot of times we went, unfortunately, to church and we never heard the word. We never listened to the word. We never obeyed what the word was saying. And because of this, we grew up and we followed the precepts of the enemy instead of the precepts of God. And God specifically told us not
Amen.
To be yoked together with unbelievers.
Amen.
And in churches today, and they have their titles and names, but we know as children of the Most High God that God is only one church, and that's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
These other churches, you know, we have our titles and people run and they say, well, this is the right church and, you know, this is the wrong church. No, it's only one right church, and that's the kingdom, okay? And I'm going to read in the Pastor Willie, she had already mentioned it, but in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the Amplified that said that, it says, do not make mistakes, all alliance with them, or come under a different yoke with them.
Amen.
Inconsistent with your faith. Okay. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship? Now, if we look at these words that God told us, how in the world, if you're already going around with this vessel, okay, and he is cussing or she's cussing, she's drinking, she's lying, and some even stealing, how can you have fellowship with that vessel if you're walking it by the Spirit of God? Word has said, they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So if you're walking with them and you fellowshipping with them, that's letting God and man know, okay, that you don't want the things of the Father.
Mm.
You want the things of the flesh. What kind of harmony is it? And we have this so much now that, as Pastor said, you want a man or a woman on your arm, and you want to be able to take them to the movies, or you want to be able to go out to dinner with them, but you're not on one mind and one accord. And any least little thing is going to bring destruction to that relationship because you're not walking together.
Yes.
And so God is not, he's not pleased with that. He wants his children to be equally yoked. He wants his children, the Bible says in Psalms 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of
Is a man that walketh not. That walketh not in the council.
Right, right.
Yes.
Right. Amen. I'm sorry. The enemy didn't want me to say that. But he's a lie. God blesses righteousness, holiness, purity, okay, cleanness, right? You know, when we were growing up, Pastor Willie and Minister QB, when we were growing up and we were in that home, okay, one of the things that our parents would said that holiness was a blessing for cleansing. If you're clean, you're blessed. That's what they were saying. If you're dirty, you're not blessed. Who wants to be around, and this is a natural analogy, but who wants to be around someone that stinks?
Mm-hmm.
No one.
No one. That's right.
And sin stinks.
Mm.
So why would you want to be in a relationship with someone that stinks? Why would you want to go to the movies with someone that stinks? Mm-hmm. Why would you want to go out to dinner to someone that you see?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to go and visit a friend when that vessel is stinking?
Mm-hmm.
The foul mouth that they had. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
God is not, you know, we don't look at it and we don't see, but when we take entire knot with an unbeliever,
then
you just brought stink in your home and you brought stink in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You done brought stink when you had children, you done brought stink in your children. And children are inheritance of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right. Okay. God wants us to be pure. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to show the world, okay, that they can live a happy life.
Amen.
A marriage that will bless the church and will be a blessing to the world.
Yes.
Excuse me. And me wants to come and destroy. The Bible says that the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Yes.
I heard pastors say men and women come into the church to find their mate,
mm-hmm.
to find their husband.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that these people, they're not coming for salvation?
Mm-hmm.
They're coming for a vessel that is here.
Yes.
And they're not going to the bars to get them. They're coming into the household of faith because those vessels are clean.
Mm-hmm.
And they are pure.
Mm.
And they come in, the enemy is coming in to steal their happiness, their peace, their joy. The enemy is coming to destroy them, to pull them back out into the world.
Amen.
And destroy their relationship that they have.
Yeah.
With their daddy, their father, God, and to ultimately kill him, that they will not be in fellowship, daddy at all, and they will not be able to live and reign with God forever and ever.
Yes.
Okay. This is what the enemy comes, and he puts us.
Mm-hmm.
together unequally. This vessel don't want to pray. This vessel don't want to go to church. This vessel don't want to study the word.
Mm.
This vessel don't want to listen to the shepherd that God has given them.
Yes, yes.
And they come to destroy you and bring you out. Now, also heard, and I can give this testimony, but when I was in the church, as a single woman, praise God, it was, when I gave my heart to God, it was 8 years before I was even looking at what a man was trying to talk to me.
Mm.
And it was two of them that came, and they were trying to entice me. Here I am, a single woman, loving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind. And here was two unclean spirits.
Mm.
That's what they were. And they offered to take me out to dinner. They wanted to to walk with me, and they always had a conversation. Well, one said that God showed him that I was going to be his wife. And my problem, I said, well, God didn't show me.
All right.
Well, the enemy. Now, I could have been a silly woman, and I could have went on and oh, you know, oh, God showed him that I was going to be his mate and smile from ear to ear and, you know, make the wrong decision.
Yes.
But thanks be unto God that gives me the victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Spirit of the Lord just let me know that is not your mate.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. And God had showed me signs and that, you know, he was not, you know, pure before him. He was not walking right before him. Then the other one that came is a little bit better than the first one. And he wanted me to go with him. But God let me know he was trying to get me out of the fellowship that God had placed me in. I'm a firm believer of what the Word says. The Word said God would lead us into green pastures. And he would restore our souls.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I believe that God, when he leads you into a fellowship and has told you that that is your pastor, you do not leave that fellowship until God speaks to that pastor and God will speak to you, and then you will go to the other pastors where he wants you to get fed at. I'm a firm believer of that. Amen.
Praise
being
God.
A firm believer of that, God showed me how this man wanted to pull me out of the leadership, which would have wounded me in my spirit, which would have pulled what God was building up within me. And I looked at him and I said, you are not the one.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then I also looked at God, and I said, God, I didn't ask you for a man. That's not what I asked you for. But, you know, God is so faithful.
Yes, he is.
So good. And he said, our footsteps are ordered by him.
Thank you, Jesus.
He also said that he has a plan for us.
Yes, he does.
And sometimes our plan, and Sister QB, is not what we want.
Amen.
It's what God wants. And it's always for ministry's sake.
Yes.
I'm taking time tonight a little bit. I'm going to turn this over to Sister QB. But you just don't run and be googly eyes towards a male or female. Your purpose is to win souls for Christ, and also the purpose that God has put a male and a female together is to birth children in this land like of God. God made us now in his image, not our image.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
In his image. So the children that we birth should be like God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Then we take as turns, train them and teach them in the way they should go.
Amen.
So we shouldn't be unequally yoked because
thank you, Lord.
It's going to bring a lot of conflict and a lot of hurt and pain. And the hurt and pain, sometimes it can be so devastating that, you know, you get broken marriages. You get marriages that, you know, that the husband then killed the wife, or the wife then killed the equally yoked.
Mm-mm-mm.
So God said in his word, you know, we are not to be unequally yoked, but we are to be yoked together.
Thank you so much,
and
Pastor Maxine.
Yoked together as husband and wife, and we bring our children into the household of faith, then it brings a more unity in the body of Christ.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom. Thank
Amen.
You, people.
So, y'all have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I said I was going to say, but this is what I felt in the spirit.
Thank you so much.
Praise Lord. Praise Lord.
Hallelujah. And I'm sure, Elder Keeper, you've had some experiences. Hallelujah. Share your words of wisdom to these young ladies that's listening tonight.
Tonight I'm coming from a different angle.
Yes.
Before even dating. A young lady who desires to be married, she should first be seasoned, have a plan, because her plan is to whoever's interested in her to convert them. She wants to know where they're coming from, what's on their heart, what is their spiritual background. You know, how are they functioning in the world themselves? Because she's doing a little testing. It's like a little checkoff list. You see where his head is, his heart, how he's handling himself. For him to even be considered for someone that she might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's just dating right now. But she's got to have a format for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wants to be a wise young lady so she can be a wise wife.
Mm-hmm.
The wife that the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
31. If she wants to be that way, she has to start when she's still in her teen years or a young lady. She's doing her groundwork, her homework, for someone who seems to be interested in her. She's pulling out all of her Christian tools to present to this person. She's questioning them. She's living a life before them. If they're interested in her, they're going to church, they're listening to what she has to say. First of all, she has an audience that's right at her fingertips.
Mm.
He's hanging on every word that she says. So therefore, she's planting seeds on purpose. She's putting the word of God right there in his face, along with being a normal young lady, a young lady that is carrying herself in a manner that is ladylike. Listening appropriately, asking them the proper questions,
mm-hmm.
and listening to them. Women can talk all the time, but she has 2 ears and 1 mouth. So hear what his heart is saying. Ask the right questions, and you get the right answer. As time goes on, you'll be able to see and discern
mm-hmm.
what type of spirit he's bringing to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you know whether to cut him off, let him go a little further, or some more investigation is needed. And do your homework. Because if you do that, you are a wise young lady who will grow into a wise woman and be a wise wife. God only wants the best for us.
That's right.
But he's given us his word. He's given us the tools to work with.
Amen.
If you're a wise young lady, you have elders around you, older women,
mm-hmm.
that you can go to, you can talk to. And glean wisdom from, to ask questions to. Not that pickled old one, the one that's mean and nasty in church, but someone that you have observed that will give you answers that you can live by.
Mm-hmm.
That you can go look up in the Bible to see, does that fit? Does that make sense? Let me go back and ask this question. But a young lady who wants to be married, it is imperative that you be well-based in the Word of God, that you stay on the Lord's side. Because, yes, you see the guy. You know he's handsome. He's got all that going on, the bells and whistle. But you have to not be fleshly minded.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put your emotions and your feelings aside because you're going after something bigger, better, and best for you. For
mm-hmm.
your lifestyle, for your children, or for the woman of God you want to be. For what you're exhibiting around your other friends. You may be by yourself sometimes. But what you're going after is what God wants, his will, which is the best for you. So you have to do your homework. You have to plan. You have to pray. You have to seek counsel.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
On purpose.
Yes.
Because you want to glorify God. In Matthew 5 and 16, it says, let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify your Father
yes.
in heaven. If that young man is interested, he's going to already see that you're different. You carry yourself differently.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing on purpose is making him thirsty for what you have.
Thank you, Lord.
You stand out like a sore thumb on purpose. Some people may say it's planning. I think it's wise planning. Because you want the best. You want to exhibit the best. You want God's blessing for you, your husband, and your children.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you want a good marriage. You don't want to marry someone who's unequally yoked, who does not know the Lord.
Mm.
So you do your homework. You don't want to find all these things on the other side of the bedroom door. Be devastated by the things that are presented. When you've done your homework, looked at the family line, the churches he belongs to, and if he doesn't ask the right questions, you just go, have a nice day. And next, and you wait till God shows you someone else that you can put before your screening board or before your check office to see if that's the right one. So it is called dating. But you're very reserved
mm-hmm.
and you're very knowledgeable because you don't want to be unequally yoked.
Amen.
Because Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light shine, your light is on all the time. From morning to night, on purpose, you're presenting the tools that God has given you to be a Christian light. You're winning souls as you go. They should see you working in the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
They should see you handling yourself in a way that is comparable and showing the love of Jesus Christ in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So every office that you go in, whether you want business, the church, or whatever, they should see you acting like a Christian, even in situations that are very, I guess you would say, challenging, where strife is going on. You take the Christian principles with you everywhere you go.
Yes.
So being this young man, he's watching you in every circle that you travel. Let him see you in every facet of life. So he will even make a decision whether this is the person that he would want to be with. But all you're concerned with is showing Christ, showing that Christ is love, he's understanding. And even though you may hear some things that you don't agree with, still listen. You go, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Agree to disagree. You
mm-hmm.
can be respectful. You don't have to be a hammer on a nail. Okay? So you present yourself in a way that you're approachable and that you're knowledgeable in that.
Yes.
Because you don't want to go down the road and have heartache if you can avoid that with your eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You're praying all the time. When you have people around you, your pastors, other women, other marriages that you're looking at, and you're rating them as well. You desire the things you would like to do in your marriage, you would not like to do. And when you have questions that are really burning in your heart, you take them to the Lord, you take them to a person where you can get counsel, and then God helps you make a quality decision.
Amen.
Because you don't want to be unequally yoked.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is over everything. And you want to present your best self at every place or platform that he places you. Because he means that much to you. So you turn your feelings and emotions to sit down. You let the Christ in you stand up. That's what I have to say.
Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for all these words of wisdom. Hallelujah. One area that we did not touch was also in business. And I want the women of God to know, really, everybody that's listening, you really also do not want to be unequally yoked, even when it comes to a business partner. A business partner. You can have friction. You can bring down a company. You can stop a company even from, I guess, ever happening. If you don't pick the right partner to go into business with. But God can bless every union if the partners are both saved of the Holy Ghost and having the same vision, the vision that God wants them to have. Because if you have one vision and they and your partner has another, that is the vision. Hallelujah. But submitting your lives unto the Lord Hallelujah. Submitting your vision unto God, you can have a godly union. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, women of God, for being here tonight. Hallelujah. And I trust that the word tonight fell on good ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Maxine Lee. Thank you so much, Elder Kibi Stevenson, for your words of wisdom. Hallelujah. God bless you. See you next month. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. God bless you. Tonight, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God bless you and see you next month. Hallelujah. Be blessed of the Lord, women of God.